Good morning. Trust is kind of a finicky thing, isn't it? It takes so long to earn it, and so very short to lose it, doesn't it? I wanted to talk to you guys about a journey in Scripture of trust, of learning to trust God. And we're going to talk about Abraham, or Abram. He started off as, and later had his name changed to Abraham. It was a gift from God. The scripture that I'm kind of starting off with here is, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. That's a nice quote from God. You know, if you're going to quote somebody, it's probably a good one. I was reading a book last week, and it was interesting. It was about Lincoln on leadership, it was an audio book actually. That way, I can work and listen at the same time. But the author kept quoting Lincoln as saying this thing, but didn't realize it was actually from Scripture. He kept quoting Lincoln as being so wise, and he said, "A house divided cannot stand." It was very clear that the author didn't realize that that actually came from Scripture, from Jesus. I thought that was interesting. But if you're going to quote somebody, God or Jesus, they're good ones to quote. Make sure you give them creds. You know. But I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And what I have there is a picture of a ripple. If you ever grew up by water anywhere as a kid and chucked a rock in a lake or something, or a pool, if you're an Arizona kid, that's where the water is, in the pools. It plops in there, but then it creates that ripple effect, right? I am a product of many generations of pastors. And I'm told that some relatives, several generations, 150 years ago or whatever, I don't know, a young man decided that he was going to follow the Lord. And he had a choice to make between his father's way or the Lord's way. And he chose to follow the Lord and left his family farm, his home and everything. And that was my grandfather's grandfather. So is that four generations, five generations, my grandfather is my father and his father, and then his father and his father. So however that is. Okay, I'm glad you guys took math class. But I'm part of that result. The ripple effect was that my father followed the Lord, and he taught faithfully about the Lord, and his father was a pastor, and his father was a circuit pastor that went from church to church to church. You know, he'd preach in one and then get on his horse and go to the next one and get on his horse and go to the next one. And so as a result of one guy who said, "I am going to follow the Lord," the ripple effect of that is, I am blessed because of that. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? And so, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. So it's really not about you, is it? Your life matters far beyond what you can see. You may be a drop in the water, but the ripple effects of the drop in the water causes more ripples. Right? And so as we go through Abraham, I've got three, like a good pastor, I've got three areas I want to cover that we'll talk about. And, you know, this is one of those good three-point sermons. This would get an A in class. James, if you want to write this down and take notes later, I'll give you no. Just kidding. So, a good amount of, probably more than I ever had. But I want to start off with a call. So we'll be in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you.'" Go. Get up and go. And it's really interesting because he didn't say where you're going. He just, get up and go. And when you get there, I'll let you know you've arrived. Has anybody ever had journeys like that? We're going to go on a trip today. I've got to tell you, if I told my wife that, it wouldn't go very well. She is more of a planner than I am, and she would need details. Okay, where are we going? Have you reserved a hotel for us? Where are we stopping along the way? How many hours do I get to sleep in the car while you drive me? You know, you got one of those too, huh? She needs details. There's no details here. Get up and go. Leave everything you know and get up and go. And when you get there, I'll show you. And there's something about when God speaks, you know it's God. I mean, there are some times when you think God may have said something to you, when you think God is leading you in a direction. Sometimes you feel nudgings, but when God clearly speaks to you, there's no mistaking it, right? Are you with me? When God says, do this, or go do that, or go talk to that person, sometimes you get so agitated within that if you don't answer, that agitation won't go away. Are you with me? You know what I mean? That uneasiness, that heaviness of heart, that tugging, that pulling that says, God has spoken and it's time for you to respond. See, what you need to know about Abram is that he's about 75 years old and has not heard of this God at all yet. And I don't know about you, but I'm only 46, and I've developed quite a few habits in my life that I'm kind of fond of. There are things that just have to be a certain way for me. The chairs, I'm telling you, there are certain things that just, I like them the way they are. And if you come to me and say, Brian, it's time for you to make some changes in some of your habits, we're going to have a struggle. That's right. You know what I mean? Yeah. In fact, I like to come on Saturday after the breakfast club when nobody's here to give me any grief about where the chairs need to be. I lock the door too. I come in and I lock the door behind me. I get my tape measure out and I get in my happy place straightening chairs out. You guys laugh, but I know many of you have some of the same habits in your life. Maybe it's not chairs, but you certainly have habits, don't you? Abram knows nothing of God. He's 75 years old, and somehow, there's no more detail to this other than God came to him and spoke to him and said, I'd like you to go. Sometimes when God tells you to go somewhere, there aren't a lot of details in it. I remember being called to come out to Surprise and plant a church. I knew it. I knew I was called to do that. In fact, I told my wife, I'm going to need some time to go and pray. Would you give me a day to go and pray? And I went and I prayed and I was searching for details. I didn't get any other than go. Sometimes God works that way. He's asking you to trust him. Now, if I were to ask you, is God trustworthy? You all been in church long enough to know that the answer to that is yes, God is trustworthy. But are you living your life in such a way that you are trusting God with your life? Don't answer that out loud. Let the Spirit work within you. But the Lord spoke and said, go. So Abram starts in the land of Ur. You see Ur down there? That's where you are, Abram. Get your Ur, land of Ur. All right, I'm trying. Bad joke. Okay. Now, if you look, he goes north towards Babylon, Assyria, and Haran, and then comes back down, and Canaan is where he ends up at. Are you following the dotted line on the map there? Now, some of you would think, am I standing right in your way? There's one on this side, and there's one on this side. And if it's not good enough, there's one in the back, too. Some people say that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Not always so with God, but I think this has more to do with logistics. If you're going to be traveling over to Canaan, you don't want to go through the Arabian Desert. You will die. There isn't any water there. In fact, if you see the dotted line, what are you following? The river, the Euphrates River, where the water is, right? So his journey is also following along, actually, all of the known places where people are. And he's going to end, and he's going to come back around, and he'll follow down the Mediterranean area there, down to Canaan. And Canaan is where he ends up, and God says, this is where you need to be. So we have a call. Now I'm wondering, I'm just going to ask this rhetorical question. That means that you keep the answer within yourself. I wonder if anybody is feeling the Lord call them to anything lately. You know, that still, small voice that lingers around. That nudging, that prompting, that maybe there's something more I need to be doing. And what we get in the first step of trust is a call and a response. And the response from Abram is, he goes. So we move to our next step, and there's a promise. He says, okay, I'm going to go, but he kind of makes a deal with God, which many of us often do. And in fact, God's not necessarily opposed to making deals, I don't think. He says, what's in it for me? Right? Do you guys know this story? I'm on my way. When you say I've arrived, that's great. But what's in it for me? He says, okay, I'll be your God. You be my people. But he says, I will make you. This is verses 2 and 3 of chapter 12. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Not a bad deal, I don't think. If you look here, it's kind of a three types of blessings that go on there. There's a national blessing. I will make you into a great nation. There's kind of a problem with that blessing there, and it's logistics again. And I'm not sure if God understands what the problem is with this, but Abraham is 75, and so is his wife, well past childbearing years, and so far no children. Something's broke. Something's not working. Something's not happening. I don't know. Maybe it's old age. But in order to become a great nation, there needs to be something coming along here. But God says, I will make you a great nation. And in fact, if you read through Scripture, Abraham's kind of the beginning of the Israelites, isn't he? In fact, if you read in Matthew, the opening book of the New Testament to herald the coming of Jesus. I mean, this is a fabulous moment, and it starts off with a genealogy. Shoot the fireworks off, right? This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who? Abraham. Abraham. This is who we're talking about. We're on the subject of Abraham, by the way. Just a hint. He does actually. In fact, Jesus comes through the line of Abraham, and he's mentioned clear into the New Testament. There is a great nation that started out of him. That promise came true, didn't it? And then there's a person, I will make your name great. In fact, if you read all throughout the New Testament, the biggest argument the Israelites have is, we are descendants of Abraham. They call on his name often. Of course, little did they know that becoming part of the kingdom isn't through heritage. But he will give him a great name. In fact, as we are going to see later on in this series on trusting, a journey of trust, we'll see that when other nations come by or other people groups come by to see Abraham, they know him by name. His reputation precedes him, and he is known as a great, great man, blessed by God, right? And then the last part of that, it's global. And I wonder if you are noticing with me that there seems to be a ripple effect to the blessing and the promises there. So if you are feeling that nudge, that call, that pull, that, hey, go. And it may not be getting up and moving across the country to Florida or Georgia or South Carolina or Kansas or Hawaii or Puerto Rico. It may be, but it may be work. It may be your neighbor. It may be your HOA, Vicky. That's an inside joke. Ask her later. She'll tell you all about it. It may even be that call to talk to that person that bothers you so much. Sometimes God calls you to do things that are way out of your comfort zone. In fact, you should have a conversation with God about it. You know, I'm really uncomfortable about that, Lord. He says, yes, I know, but I need you to trust me. And it might be okay to ask him, okay, what's in it for me if I get over there? I told you a few weeks ago about my old boss, who I respected as a boss. He got me started in the business and taught me many things. But I felt that call. Go talk to him about his son who has got a heart attack. And I don't know why, but I hemmed and hawed about it. It was out of my comfort zone. Did you get the updated email from Brenda this week? I'm glad I went. So he promises him all this stuff. And so Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. And he ended up in Canaan. And as he went, we see the journey. That's our third point. I'm blazing through this here. So Abraham went, and Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah at Shechem. At that time, the Chaldeans were in the land. So if you are familiar, that's not a very good picture of a map, I apologize, but the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea should be familiar to you if you've seen any maps of Scripture. The Mediterranean Sea is that blue part off to the side there. That red dot right there is Shechem, where this great tree of Mamre is. And why in the world does it mention this great tree? Here's a picture of a great tree. Probably not the same tree, but it's a great tree. It's much bigger than it looks on the picture. That trunk is about 8 feet around, is what I read. That's big. It's a great tree. The reason they mention the tree and being in the land of the Chaldeans is because often the different gods of this era would require of people. Now, I don't know how the different gods required of people this, unless people were just dumb. Apparently they were. But they would come under trees, great trees, where there was shade. Trees are a sign of life and living and would be a place of worship often. Sometimes you would be asked to come to these great trees and give sacrifices to whatever god you were serving at the time. And Abram stops in the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites are worshiping other gods and many gods. And the question to Abraham is, who is God? As he stops under this great tree of worship. Who is God? Now, it's probably important for you to know that in Joshua, he says this. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors..." Who is the ancestors of the Israelites? Abraham. Good, good. You guys are paying attention. "Including Terah and the father of Abraham and Nora, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods." If you didn't know this, Abraham's family were idol makers, and they built different idols to different gods in the land of Ur. And this is where God called Abram out of. Now, he called him out of a place where there were lots of gods and many gods who weren't really gods at all. And for some reason, the one true God speaks to him. Now, I've always wondered, because there aren't really many details about how this God shows up and talks to Abram and says, "I want you to go." But if all the other gods that were there never spoke to him, but suddenly there was a God who did, maybe you would listen. And the great question as Abraham ends up by the great tree is, who is God? I mean, your ancestor followed other gods, but God says, "Listen, I want you to just... this is just you and me. In fact, I didn't want to let you in on a secret, but there aren't really any other gods. I am the only one." Except that sometimes we make things in our lives gods. I once talked to a guy who said that his wife saved his life. Without her, there is no worth. She brought me out of the life of drugs and all that goes along with that and saved me. And the more and more he talked about his wife, the more it sounded like she was his God. I know a guy who treats his car. It's a really cool car. I mean, I like Corvettes and all. But it's not a Porsche. Yeah. That's the problem with making cars your god, because somebody out there is making another one, right? But I knew a woman. I still know her. Who is the absolute very best at her job. and will put people out of sorts if you get in the way. She has made her job her God. In fact, she is well known all over the valley as being the best at this particular job. When she goes home, she brings her work with her. In fact, she will do her work in her office at home that she's made so she could keep doing that up until the moment she has to go to bed. And at night, she'll even dream about work. She even has, I was over there, and she has one of those treadmill things with a podium sort of deal, I don't know, holds all of her books and papers, so she could exercise in the morning while she's reading her work, so that when she gets in and does her morning, this is what we're doing today, she's well prepared. Now, I'm all for being well prepared for work and doing a good job and being the best at what you can be, but she's not doing it for anybody else but herself. It's one thing to work as though you were working for the Lord, the one true Lord. But she doesn't seem to know him at all. I also know another gal who is enshrined an entire room in her house to books. She has what's called the library. Now, I'm all for reading. In fact, I encourage you, read a book every now and again. Expand your mind. Learn something new. It's good for you. In fact, I think God wants you to always grow your mind, to always increase, always learn something. But this particular lady doesn't seem to know anything about God except books, books, books. She has some books that are worth a fortune, and they get a special shelf behind a glass door. She has several of them that are ancient. They're not manuscripts. They're just antique books, and they're leather bound, and they're worth fortunes. Apparently, she even has insurance on her books alone. Do you see how in today's day and age, where we don't have little statues of stone or whatever to gods, but we do have a tendency to make certain things our gods, don't we? I know a guy who can tell you everything there is to know about the economy and what's going to make money and what's not going to make money. And he's done very well for himself. In fact, I read about Rockefeller in history class, and he was asked one time, how much money is enough money? He says, $1 more than I will ever have. It's never enough, is it? Do you see how sometimes other things can take place of God in our lives? And I wonder, are we putting our trust in God, or are we putting our trust in the economy? Or our trust in our ability? Some of us are very good at talking people into things. And they can get things done just by encouraging you the right way. And they say things like, if anything's ever going to get done, you got to do it. And I wonder, are they putting their trust in themselves or in God? So I think I've beat that horse pretty good. I'm not sure where I got this this definition. It wasn't in a theology book, but I liked it. Idolatry is my stubborn commitment to trust something other than God to fill the rightful place of God. Now let me say that again. I'll do it slowly. Listen carefully. Idolatry is my stubborn commitment to trust something other than God to fill the rightful place of where God should be. So what are you stubbornly committing trust to that isn't God? That's idolatry. In fact, God from the very beginning has been asking you to just trust me. In fact, at the very beginning, under a big tree, he says, you can have anything you want from this whole garden. There's lots of trees here. And lots of these trees are blessed. And those blessings are for you. But this one tree, I want you to trust me in this. And the whole conniving scheme was, you can't really trust God. In fact, if you take of this tree, you'll see how you can trust yourself and not God. See, he was asking you to trust him from the very beginning. And I wonder, I'll ask the question again. Are you living your life trusting in God in everything you do? And that's almost the same thing as Abraham here, where he starts over again and says, listen, I want you to trust me. I want you to go out to a place. I'm calling you out. I want you to go to this place. And when you get there, I'll show you that you're there. And when you're there, I'll bless you. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. I'll make you a blessing so that you can bless others. And in fact, if somebody blesses you, I'll bless them for blessing you. I'll show you what a great God I can be if you just trust me. So if you're heading off to college soon or a new career soon, are you trusting in that diploma you might get? In fact, I've been there before, and it feels a little bit nervous and scary to head off into the world and not rely on mom and dad's generosity anymore. Well, I mean, there's a little bit of responsibility there. We had you, so. But this is your luggage year, so good luck. What I want to say to you is, not tease you about it, but say to you, you can trust God to take you wherever he wants you to be, to whomever he wants you to be. He is trustworthy and faithful and true. And you can rest and relax in him. Do you hear me? And if you're in a strange place in life where all of life was okay, but now things are falling apart and your health isn't the same it used to be, and doctors don't have any clue what's going on with you, but they keep taking your money or your insurance or whatever, or throwing new pills at you or whatever it is, you can still trust in God. He is trustworthy and true. Put your faith in God. Put your hope in God. Sounds like a song. And as Abraham stood under the great tree, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Now, we didn't hear any word from until now, from God. So at some point, he said, go. And Abraham went on this journey. And I don't know, it takes several days to get that many miles when you have a car. Cars were not invented yet. He has a four-hoofed, four-wheel drive donkey. Maybe a two-wheel drive camel. and they're hoofing it 1,200 miles or so, give or take. It's months on this journey to get to where God says, there you are. Now, no, the scripture doesn't tell us there's any word until now, and then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He says, you're here. All of this land is going to be yours. Now, it also says, and the Canaanites were living there. That's a whole nother sermon, by the way. But there, under the great tree, he built an altar to the Lord. He said, I'll tell you who God is. God is the one who appears to me and says, I will make you great. I'll be your God. You be my man. In fact, later he says, I am a friend of God. And then it says this. From there, he went on towards the hills to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and he called on the name of the Lord. Now, what's going on there? Earlier, God says, I will make your name great. But in each of these places, he sets an altar to the Lord and he makes proclamations to the name of the Lord, Jehovah, publicly. What's he doing? He is now making God's name known. And I wonder if you have been feeling that call that says, hey, go. And you get there and you see God has blessed it. Don't forget to make God's name great. When I showed up at that hospital room to talk to my old boss, whom I knew did not know the Lord very well. He knew of him because when I worked for him many years ago, he would make fun of me about it. But as you saw in that email, and I actually spent several hours there in the hospital room answering questions about God. God had blessed me many, many years ago by calling out my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, or great, four generations, you said. And I am here today still answering the call of God. But the blessing is when I see a man recognize that there is a God who can bless and heal hearts physically and spiritually both. I'm going to venture out to say that God calls each and every one of us to some task somewhere, doing something for him. Sometimes it's great, grand. Sometimes it's small, but still significant. And sometimes it's the smallest stones that make the littlest splash that still make the same rings in the water or ripples in the water as the big rock. Do you remember back being a kid? I tested the theory. I would throw big rocks and small rocks. The ripples were the same. It's all the beginning splash that's different. But let me encourage you, if God calls, go. For he will bless you so that you can be a blessing. And there will be a ripple effect. And though I'm certain that my four generations ago grandfather didn't even know of me, didn't even know if I would exist. But here I am today, one of the ripples in the ring. And I feel fairly confident that my four children will continue on serving the Lord in whatever way He may call them to serve Him. I trust that they will be faithful. And the ripples that they make down the line, they know not of. But I am hoping for grandchildren someday, not yet, slow down. But I will continue to see the ripples grow. What ripples are you making today? And are you trusting the Lord? And there's all sorts of ways that God calls us to trust Him. In fact, many of us tithe here. And that's good and well. But do you know that the root behind tithing is not getting money into the church? I mean, it helps out. Some of you like it hot and some of you like it cold. And I hear both of you each Sunday. Many of you have helped and blessed us as we're paying down the debt on the mortgage. And I thank you greatly for that. But the reason God asks you to give is not so there's money in the coffers. He asks you to give so you can trust Him. In fact, I remember early on in my life when I knew I was supposed to tithe. And so I did, but as I wrote the check out, I calculated how much I could be buying with that instead of giving it to the church. And sometimes I needed baby formula or diapers or food on the table or... He says, do you trust me? I always had diapers and formula. And as you can see, I've always had food on the table. Plenty. And I don't know why it takes so long for us to trust. But I'm almost there. I have almost gotten to the place where I give my tithe check and I don't calculate what I could be buying with it. Almost. But I have gotten to the place where when I give it, I say, I trust you, Lord, with this. You have been faithful my entire life, and I have no reason to ever doubt you. And as we continue on in this journey of trust, and we learn and we watch how Abraham learned to trust in the Lord. Do you know what happens after this great time of altar, of building altars and proclaiming God is God? He starts a family and everything goes very well, right? No, it's a long period of waiting. Another 25 years before a baby comes along and several mistakes along the way. Sometimes God calls you to trust Him, and sometimes in the trusting, there's waiting. And in the waiting, don't give up, as we'll see over the next several weeks. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, as we begin this journey of trusting You and watching Your servant trust You, I pray that You would open our hearts and our minds to begin to see You in new ways, to begin to trust You in new ways, and to give over ourselves to You like we never have before. Lord, may we trust You with all of our lives, with our children, with our jobs, with our economy, with our cars, with our everything. Lord, may You find us a faithful people. As You have always been faithful to us. May we learn to do the same.